If the greatest power a Christian has is the grace of the gospel, then it would make sense for Satan to attack us at that level, to put all of his emphasis and force and focus on that. And I think he's winning. Hear me out. If you go to church or you think about the evangelical church, broadly speaking, what are we emphasizing today? Are we emphasizing the sufficiency of Christ to save us, to sustain us, and to train us? Are we thinking about how Christ is the one who actually produces within us sanctification? Are we preaching sermons about the sufficiency of Christ for all of our life? Or is it moralism, obedience, fear, how to improve pietism? That typically is what we're hearing in the Christian messages in most churches and podcasts today. And I think that's Satan winning. Let me explain in the episode, but that's what we're going to be talking about today. The spiritual war as it relates to the attacks on the sufficiency of Christ and the gospel. Before we do that, let's take a moment to encourage our hearts and look to Christ. Somewhere along the way, grace was taken from us, not denied, but replaced. It was exchanged for self-help, pietism, and moralism. We were taught to look to our discipline for strength instead of to Christ for power. We began to believe the Christian life is sustained by effort rather than by grace. When grace becomes technique, joy fades. When grace becomes moral performance, hope collapses. And when you forget that a real spiritual war is raging, we try to fight unseen enemies with visible tools. Grace restores our sight. Grace teaches us that Christ himself is our strength. That purpose is not found in our progress, but in his presence. That joy is not manufactured by effort, but received through communion with a living Savior who stands with his people in the fight. Grace does not train us to rely on ourselves. It reopens our spiritual eyes to see what is real. And when Christ is seen clearly again, meaning returns, hope rises, and joy begins to breathe. Most Christians that I meet, they're not reading their Bibles because they're not interested in it or in Jesus. It's frustrating. It's confusing. We often get lost. I myself have felt that for many years. The Bible according to Jesus was written to help people understand the point of the Bible, which we're not hiding. It's about Jesus. How to understand the Old Testament law and the covenants and the promises and the prophecies. Hopefully this is helpful for you and will encourage you to read your Bible more. You can pre-order it today at theocast.org. Thanks for coming back for another episode of Theocast. I'm your host, John Moffitt, the pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And every week we want to talk about all of Christ for all of life. And if you'd like to learn more about what we do here at Theocast, you can go to theocast.org. We've got articles, books, material, community, lots of great information there, lots of free stuff there. So please go check us out there. You can also contact us there. We have a contact form. Last week, this is, if you didn't hear last week, you can go back and listen to it. This is going to, I'm going to pick up where I left off there. We're going to be talking about the nature of grace, but I want to speak more of how we have lost the emphasis of grace in our life. Really, this concept of all of Christ for all of life, like how we have moved on from Jesus and needing him to sustain us in every area of our life. And we've moved on to other fleshly, worldly, internal strengths instead of grace being our strength. And I think that it's also related to a supernatural war. What's interesting throughout church history is how often we have shifts in emphasis where at times, I'm not going to get into this fully today as far as like a church history lesson, but there are times where you have certain aspects of church history that are emphasizing or focusing on aspects of the Bible. And in today's world, it seems like we are less inclined to think about the spiritual side of our faith, the supernatural side of our faith, and more of the physical side of our faith. Let me demonstrate it to you. when you think about a lot of where the church is at right now, the modern church, the mega church, evangelicalism at large, there has been a massive emphasis on moralism and practical living, right? So how to be a good person, how to have a good marriage, how to have a good, parenting. A lot of politics has been involved. And then entertainment, where we're going to entertain the kids, have entertaining music. And so it can either be a feel-good or a motivational speech. If you're more in the fundamentalist world, it's going to be motivation through fear and fear tactics and control. But all of it is used, all of it, the sermons, the music is all kind of focusing in on the external experience of the Christian, how it feels, what they need to do. You'll hear things like, I want practical tips, give me application. And it's because we have been so disconnected and have been so distant from a supernatural experience as a Christian faith that that's all we know. It's not that we can choose between one or the other. We have been swimming and living in a moralistic, therapeutic, deistic, Michael Horton says in his book, Crisis Christianity, we've been swimming in those waters for so long, pietistic waters, that that's all we know. And it feels weird. And it feels, for those who are in the conservative reform world, it feels charismatic and Pentecostal to talk about the Christianity from a more enchanted, supernatural, magical experience. That just seems like fantasy world. And where we're going to fabricate things in our experience so that we can have emotional experiences. Well, I'm not talking about emotional experiences. And I'm not talking about the phenomenological, like where you have to experience everything, have a miracle in your life, speaking in tongues, things like that. If you go back to last episode, what I'm really talking about is the magical, I hate the word magical because people get lost in that, but the supernatural nature of grace. Like Christ for us and in us and through us by means of the gospel. This is why Peter and Paul, Peter says a divine power. Paul says to Timothy that it is the word of God is active and alive. Like it actually does something to us down to the very marrow of our soul. Like it can move us in ways and transform us in ways and empower us in ways that nothing in the world can do. Like there's no other source like the power of God in the gospel as it comes to us through grace. Satan knows this. Like the being has been around from the beginning, in the garden at least, if not before then. And he's been honing his craft for a very long time. And he does not have all knowledge. He does not have access to God's infinite wisdom. So therefore, he has to use what humanity has to, which is experience, observation, and now he can use the Bible. He understands how powerful the gospel is because it pushes him back. The kingdom of God is pushed back by means of the gospel. This is it. The Bible even says that when Christ came, he put the principalities and powers into open shame. James says that he flees from us when we use grace in our life. This is James 4, submitting ourselves to grace, resisting his temptation, he leaves us. Then we stand in the strength of the Lord, and we stand in keeping our minds sober from his lies so that we're not attacked by him. This is Peter. So he knows that the ultimate power source that we have is grace. So it is no surprise to me that the world, as long as he can get the world, the church, the Christian kingdom, if he can get us talking and emphasizing anything else, it could be great. It could be wonderful doctrine. It could be helping the poor, and it could be stopping slavery and abortion. If we can just get focused on any other thing than the source of our power, then he's ahead. Now, is he going to win? No. We know that at the end, Christ wins, but Christ is using us to accomplish his kingdom. And he's using us by means of grace. Like grace in us is how we accomplish it. But when you de-emphasize the spiritual war, which we have done, thankfully, I think there's a rise again, and I'm thankful for it. there's more people talking about the strangeness of our world, which is going to immediately people are going to say, we have to have a source outside of ourselves. It's not AI. It's not technology. It's definitely not going to be witchcraft and other gods. They're powerless compared to Christ, but the world will be convinced to trust those things. We as Christians, though, we need to not allow ourselves to be lied to by Satan, but we have been for hundreds of years. Revivalism, pietism, legalism has stripped our churches and our faith of the supernatural power that comes through Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Christ is what sustains us. Christ is what trains us. Just go back to last episode. So it is no surprise to me that Satan's tactic, as he did in the New Testament church, he comes as an angel of light, teaching doctrines of demons. This is why I mention this a lot, but Galatians chapter 3, he says, who bewitched you? Like, this is satanic to think that you are going to sustain yourself in this war and in the Christian faith by your own efforts and by works of the law. I mean, hopefully you're starting to feel that there's a panic within modern Christianity because we have stopped emphasizing the law and the gospel in its proper places. The law exposes our utter incapability to do that which is only spiritual. And the gospel is our only source to do which that is required of us supernaturally, and it comes to us by faith. So sure, let's confuse the law. Let's not confuse the law. Let's just make the law the gospel and the gospel the law, and therefore everyone is powerless, not only to be saved, but to be sustained. And Christianity is just boiled down to moralism, and this is where a lot of preaching is. In more conservative churches, it's the preaching of the law. Christ here to save, you here to sustain. You examine yourself. It's like the best we can do in our churches is to just keep people questioning their salvation. I mean, what a horrible way to shepherd people. I mean, shame on any pastor who does this. And I mean that. Shame on you. When Christ offers rest and comfort to the weak and the weary, to the bruised reed, he does not come in and snap it. The little wick that's about to go out, he doesn't blow on it. He loves them and cares for them and comforts them. None will take them out of my hand. I will not abandon. What can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus? The weak and the weary and those who are beat up and trapped in sin. What does it say in Galatians 5 or Galatians 6? Restore them. Those who are trapped in sin, restore them with a spirit of gentleness and meekness. And yet we have a lot of angry, conservative, and reformed pastors just... And it works, you know, people for a while, they can feel it and it kind of scares them into it. You know, my loud booming voice when my kids were younger, they got their attention, but now they're adults. They just get offended. They're like, Dad, why are you yelling at me? I'm a grown person. I'm not a little kid. It just agitates them. I mean, can you imagine every time my 19-year-old child came into the house and I was like, oh, yeah, well, I don't even know if you're my child because of the way you're acting. Like, I'm questioning whether you belong to this family. You need to start acting in such a way, proving that you belong here. It's like, that's a wonderful relationship. You know, thanks, Dad. I'm so glad to be a Moffat. That's demonic. That is satanic. What are we doing? Now, is there a place for church discipline? Yeah, God disciplines those whom he loves. He wants to purify the church. He wants to protect the church. And if someone is trapped in sin, out of love and out of hopeful repentance, we discipline them tearfully, removing them from the table, calling them back to Christ. But this constant diet of just calling people's salvation into question needs to stop. It doesn't change the heart or it doesn't change the mind. Go back to last week's episode. It is grace that teaches us to renounce ungodliness, not anger and fear and the law. It is grace that teaches us to produce fruit in us. It is grace that sustains us in time of suffering. It is grace that we need in our most weak moments to glorify the power of God. So if you're a weak Christian, You need grace. You need somewhere, a source, a church that's going to come and give you grace to build you back up in his strength, not your own. We have no reasons to be applauded. We have no reasons to stand and claim righteousness. When you cross the finish line, well done, thou good and faithful servant, is given to you because you're in Christ. You're in Christ. How do you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher? So when you cross the finish line, you're gonna receive a reward for finishing the race that you couldn't even finish on your own? That applaud comes to you because you're in Christ. And it's insane to think that our Father applauds us. That's just his love for us. That's just unbelievable, radical grace that we just cannot understand. I just do not understand it. And hear me out. The last thing I want to do today or tomorrow is sin, or to cause others to sin, or to hurt them, because no one has benefited and God is not glorified in my sin. I don't want to sin so that more grace may abound. As Paul says, may it never be. Who wants to live that kind of a lifestyle? That's selfish and arrogant, and prideful and closed-minded. No, I want to live a life that is empowered by grace, that I see my weakness more and more, and I have to have it. I have to have his grace. And that changes, right? That changes what you want to see emphasized. My mission for Theocast and for my church is that Christ would be heralded higher and louder as sufficient than anything else. And that there is no way you're going to ever have joy, rest, comfort, peace, and be effective in this kingdom, in the kingdom fight, if you do not rest in the sufficiency of Christ and his grace. So, yeah, I'm going to emphasize more and more the spiritual warfare that we are in, because it's the war that won. Like, the battle being won right now, it's on Satan's side. I can admit it. He's winning. Oh, John, how dare you say that? Well, I can. Paul even talks about how some have been sifted by Satan, that he won in those areas. If we are not preaching Christ week in and week out, and the church is not emphasizing Christ for their life, and they're emphasizing their entertainment and their sports and their weight and their looks and their money and their whatever else you put in there, yeah, he's winning. Now, does he win the war? No, that's already been won. But our job is to rescue, disciple, and prepare for Christ's return. And unfortunately, at large in the church today, don't judge it by morality, and don't judge it by name or by number. Judge it by message. What is the broader message of the church today? Paul says, look, I want to come to Corinth and to Ephesus and Galatia, and I want to preach Christ and him crucified. The power of Christ may rest upon you. His grace is sufficient for you.
If you're new to Theocast, you may not have heard of this word. It's called pietism. Have you ever felt like the Christian life is a heavy burden versus rest and joy? That you wake up worrying about how well you're going to perform instead of thinking about what Christ has done for you? It's dread versus joy, really. That's pietism. Pietism causes Christians to look in on themselves and find their hope, not in what Christ has done, but what they're doing. And we have a little book for you. It's free. We want you to download it. And we're going to explain the difference between pietism and what we call confessionalism. Reformed theology, really. How it is that we walk by faith, seeing the joy of Christ. And when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest, what does that look like? You can download it at our website. Just go to theocast.org.
This is why Ephesians 6, he's like, look, you're not wrestling flesh and blood. You're wrestling a message and a method and a power that comes from things you can't see with your eyes through the physical eyes, but you're going to experience them through the spiritual realm. This is why it's like you wrestle against principalities and powers and sources that are changing message and methods. It's like, how in the world are you going to fight that war? He goes, you got to stand in the strength of the Lord. He says, put on the armor of your discipline. No, put on the armor of Christ. You see, you just can't get away from it. All of Christ for all of life. He saves you. He sustains you. And he takes you home. At some point, our pride will finally get out of the way. And we were like, I don't want credit for any area of my life. None. I want all glory to be to Christ. Because without him, I am nothing. Right? I am nothing. Like, going back to this last week, we were talking about 2 Corinthians. Paul is, in this particular passage, he says something that's very interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, this experience that he had, you go read it yourself, a thorn was given in my flesh. So this is for Paul's own humility. Like, don't let this get to your head. A messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. I don't even understand how to translate that, right? But Paul has this supernatural worldview. And he's like, man, there's something afflicting me. And I want it to be gone. He says, three times I asked for it to be gone. And that's when Jesus responds to him and says, even in this, Paul, even in this, whatever is ailing him, whatever's coming after him, even in this, my dear friend, you will feel weak and you will feel vulnerable, but you are safe. Because even in the hardest moments, spiritually and physically, my grace is what you need. Now that just changes. I mean, for people, if you're listening to this and you made it this far, and you've had experiences where you've been taken advantage of, or you've experienced death, you're in the midst of loss, you have cancer, you've lost a loved one, you've lost a child, your marriage is on the brink, you have no hope, you have no assurance. Satan wants to keep you there. He wants you to stay there. He has put an army in place to make sure that his methods are carried out. Think about that. That's why Paul says, you're not wrestling Satan, you're wrestling the whole domain. There's a whole system in place, and they all know how it works and functions. And so the method and the messaging is everywhere. Self-sufficiency and self-reliance and self-protection is everywhere. And they want to destroy your faith. I watched the movie Signs with my kids last night. And this priest loses his wife. And it destroys his faith. Because he doesn't know how to process this. He doesn't understand how the grace of God is what's going to sustain him through these type of things. Like, this is actually to be expected. Suffering and sorrow and heartache is not abnormal. It's normal. That's the part we don't want to hear. Satan has convinced us that freedom and joy and prosperity is normal. Paul's like, what? No, the world's cursed. Satan brought the curse. He's the one who caused the curse. We as humans have participated in the curse, and now we are all under the curse and we're groaning. And the only way out is through Christ. Don't believe the lie. It's the Truman Show through and through. We have all embraced it. Enough health, enough money, the right government, get rid of sickness, get rid of hunger, and the world would be wonderful. It can't be. It's cursed. And there's only one who can remove the curse, which is Christ. And when he comes back, that's when he's doing it. That's why Paul says we're groaning, waiting for the arrival of our King. That's the one we're looking for. Strong words, but it is satanic to not believe that. It's being bewitched. But Ephesians 2 says that the whole world is set on a course by the principality of the air, which is Satan. And that course is enough time, enough effort, doing it the right way, utopia can be had. You can even throw God in there if you want, as long as you don't trust in him. In the way in which he wants you to trust him, as long as you just see him as like a Santa Claus coming down to, you know, help you out. But don't trust in his grace. So we become very self-sufficient people. And at times, very religious. Satan doesn't care if you're religious. He just doesn't want you trusting in the sufficiency of Christ, because that's the power that pushes him back. He is powerless against those who rest and put on Christ. That's why James says that. Resist him in grace. Paul says that in Ephesians 6, stand in the strength of Christ so that the fiery darts can't touch you. Peter says it this way, be sober-minded. Don't let the lies of Satan come in, because he makes you vulnerable. He isolates you. He pulls you off to the side, and then you're attacked. You see, these all verses are all in there. We just don't like talking about them because they make us feel, well, make our faith feel like we're lunatics. You mean you really believe in little demons and devils and all that kind of stuff? Yeah, I do, because we got people murdering each other, abusing each other, killing their babies. None of that is good. He's the father of all lies. He's come to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what Jesus says about him. I mean, every day in our prayer, the Lord's Prayer, it says, deliver us from the evil one. Yeah, I think this is an important conversation moving forward with this podcast. What is keeping us from all of Christ? What is keeping us from applying Christ to all of our life? Like, what's in the way? How did it get there? Yeah, it's your flesh, 100%. And sure, it's the world. But it's also the devil. And they all work together, right? They all work together. And I think that the only solution is to, going back to last episode, the only solution is to keep elevating the spiritual, supernatural power of Christ in grace. Right? Grace is the way out of this. Therefore, we sing it, we pray it, we preach it, we fellowship it around it. We listen to podcasts about it. We read books around it. We want the world to be transformed by the grace of God. If you're a pastor, as I said this last week, I can't think of anything more motivating to me than to know that I am not going to be held accountable because of my own strength of converting people and sustaining them. Like, if it's up to me, I've already tried that kind of ministry, motivating people through fear and guilt and shame. Just doesn't work. Can for a little while. At the end of the day, no one has joy. Everybody's superficial. Nobody can be vulnerable. Marriages are still falling apart. Relationships are falling apart. Kids are leaving the church. There's this massive move back to the Greek Orthodox Church or the Catholic Church because people want to feel something that is transcendent, that's like real, that's supernatural, that has some power to it. Like, churches, we don't even take the Lord's table every week anymore just because we don't want to become redundant, and therefore it has become of no value to anyone. Paul literally says in Corinthians that the blessings of Christ come to the believer at the Lord's table. And if Christ is our power and grace, and we call that a means of grace, we want Christ's blessings coming to us in preaching and in singing and at the table and in baptism and in fellowship, week in and week out. Why? Because we drain ourselves of grace constantly. We're being attacked on every side. This is why it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as such as you are doing, because it's in the assembly where grace is supposed to be found, and yet at times that's where Satan has done his greatest work. He's removed grace from the church, and grace no longer exists there. Christ might be there, God and law and morality, but the sufficiency of Christ for you, yeah, it's gone. Hopefully, listeners will start waking up to this and realizing that the attacks that are on them, often the struggle with their flesh and the world coming at them, there's a source behind all of that, and it's Satan. And when you can identify how evil that is, this being who utterly hates, this created being who hates our God and King, who wants to lie to you, destroy you, and kill you, and that If you start emphasizing anything other but Christ for you, the sufficiency of Christ, grace in the gospel, you start thinking about and emphasizing anything else, that is a tactic of the evil one. That puts it in a different light. That's why Paul says, if any other preacher or any other angel comes to you and preaches you to any other gospel, to reject them and anathematize them, like get them out. And, you know, right now, Satan doesn't have to use angels in the church. He's convinced us through fame and money and power, influence. So this is why sermons about Christ for you week in and week out are just more and more pushed to the side, because Satan is really winning. I feel that every time I step into the pulpit, I step into a battlefield for the soul and the hearts of the people in that room. And my winsome stories and my clever outlines are no use if they are not channeling Christ for you week in and week out. Pastor, I know how you feel. Teachers, parents, you're trying to love your kids. You've got to be sustained yourself. You got to be cared for yourself. You got to look to Christ first and then trust that and see the power of Christ in your heart, in your mind first, so that then you can give it to others. Most marriages, man, we're just barely surviving. Surviving. And so our homes are chaos. They're run by entertainment. We fill our hearts and our minds and our time with all of that, but it's not grace. And then we wonder why we're so angry and frustrated, and why we're fighting, and why we keep running to other things constantly. We're trying to stay younger, stay fitter, stay more financially free, and yet we can't arrive. Well, that's because you live in a cursed world. It doesn't matter how hard you try, it won't work. You can't get away from the curse. You're decaying, you're dying. It's in chaos. And Satan has got us perfectly where he wants us. But just keep trying. It's eventually there. It's the revival fallacy. This year, the year of 2026. This is the year. This is the year we'll make it. He has convinced us to keep looking to the new heavens and the new earth here. And how many times in Scripture are we told, set your mind on things above? It's not here. It's so hard to do. We are aliens. We are citizens of another kingdom. Our God and King is coming. And when he comes, he'll make all things new. Then he wipes away the tears. Then all things, there's no more pain and sorrow. But until then, his grace is sufficient for us. Man, this gets me excited. I'm getting worked up. Like I'm excited to think about people catching this message. It's so old, it's new. Nothing in here I'm saying should shock anyone. It's just we don't emphasize it anymore. Like when we read our Bibles, we're not reading to hear the story of Christ for us. This is what my new book is all about. The Bible According to Jesus. I want people to know the power of Christ for them. In a supernatural way, where they look at their body fading and they say, my outward man is fading, but man, the joy of who I am inside, the world cannot touch. Who can separate us from that? Nothing. No supernatural power, no flesh, nothing. Not even death. I don't care where you're at in your life, what age you are, if you're blind, you're deaf, what handicaps you have. If Christ is in you, you can have joy and rest and peace. A sufficiency, not relief, a sufficiency to get you through. Through so you can keep doing the work. Everyone can pray. Everyone can love. Everyone can look to Christ, no matter where God has you. If you're listening to this and you're flat on your back and you can't move out of bed, you can't do anything anymore, you're just as effective as the loudest preacher in the world, because they are both sustained and carried by grace. and it requires no physical movement in order to pray. None. You can pray for me, for preachers and for churches and for missionaries. Because we've desupernaturalized our faith, we just kind of think like prayer is how you ask for things. Sure, you can ask for your healing. You should. James says you have not because you ask not. At the same time, you realize you're on a battlefield, and at times God strategically keeps healing back because that's what's needed to advance the gospel, to get the kingdom moving. And at times your healing is what is needed as well. And we can expect God to heal. And we can also expect him to give us grace in our suffering. And both are wonderful because they're for the work of the kingdom. Remember, we're living in a war zone. There is no freedom right now. There is no peace right now. There is no peace. Anybody comes yelling peace at you, they're lying. We're in turmoil. We're wrestling. There's no peace in the midst of wrestling. So my encouragement to you is let's press into this. Let's press into how Christ's power is made perfect in our weakness. Let's talk more about the gospel. Let's press into the supernatural nature of the spiritual realm because that's where the war is found. Let's not be afraid of it. Paul assumes you believed in the dualistic realm of the world we live in, what you see, what you can't see. Sundays become different. Those are days of rejoicing. We're getting refilled. We're getting grace produced in us once again through his means so that we can rest in his power and love others, pray for them, do the work that has been committed to us. This is where we want to go. This is where I want to go. As long as God keeps me giving me air in my lungs, in my home, in my marriage, in my church, in my city, and on this microphone, Christ is sufficient for you. He will carry you through. You have a purpose in life. Whatever the world has told you what your purpose is, whether it's your fame, your looks, your friends, no. Your purpose is in the kingdom. And it is far greater than you could ever imagine. If you had one more day to live, living it for the kingdom would be worth every second. Because there's nothing greater than Christ and his kingdom. I hope this is encouraging to you today. If you want to talk about this more, if you want to learn more about this, I have all kinds of conversations and questions, Q&As, classes I'm doing in our community. And it's a great way to come in. It's a private community. We've all experienced those horrible conversations that happen out on social media. We don't want to be a part of that. If you're hurting, if you're fragile, or if you're like, man, I want to get in the fight, who can I help? We need people help. We need people to help. There are a lot of pastors who are discouraged, church members who are confused, people who need to find a church. Hop in here and help us help people find churches. Theocast is not a church, but man, we support churches. We want to support pastors. Those on the front lines preaching Christ, we're all for you, man. Pastors, missionaries, please come. Let us encourage you. Come join us. Let us help you, give you resources, pray for you, comfort you. Thanks for listening. Hopefully this was encouraging to you. Pray for your pastor. If you're not in church, go find a church. If you can't find a good church, move. Find a place to get into the fight. Let God restore you in his grace. Give you a joy far beyond your circumstances. As long as you're breathing, God's grace is sufficient for you. I love you. Thank you for listening. And I look forward to one day seeing you around the throne. Until then, hopefully we'll be back here next week with another message for you. Hey guys, real quick, some of you are listening to this and it's encouraging to you, but you have questions. So where do you go? How do you interact with other people who have the same questions and share resources? We have started something called the Theocast Community. And we're excited because not only is it a place for you to connect with other like-minded believers, all of our resources are there. Past podcasts, education materials, articles, all of it's there, and you can share it and ask questions. You can go check it out. The link is in the description below.